This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We're off and running with some sports news and everything that's been breaking since we last broadcasted with you here in the G-Bag Nation. General at your service, Eddie's. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. Lucius Alexander feathering his nest in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. He's set for 5 hours flawless once again. So he's got it stuck on automatic. What are you watching, Brian? What are you looking at? You got Wolchuk and Schiaffalo.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Carter Freeman coordinating
appreciate
your video.
It, away, I'm sorry, man. There's like Britt Musburger doing a Lucius is watching some old Chicago Bears games.
1986.
And I think he's got the NFC Championship game on from like 1985 or 84.
Yeah,
where it's like wind chill in Chicago is minus 33 degrees.
Okay, so this is the week after the Fog Bowl.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
But Lucius has got the
Eagles,
old school.
Bears. That's awesome.
Soldier Field.
Oh, look, they put the tarp over it to keep the snow off of it.
Yeah.
Buffalo should take a page out of that book.
Yeah. This is crazy. Amazing how they didn't care in those games.
Yeah, Lucius is always putting up cool stuff from the 80s pretty much on the monitors.
He does.
Yeah.
Old basketball highlights and stuff. Always like that.
Todd Archer with some good reports here today on your Cowboys, guys. Lots been going on, including he captured Mike's reply from Jerry Jones yesterday. We're designing bad plays or we're designing bad concepts is what Jerry had to say with 105.3 The Fan, Sean and RJ yesterday morning. Don't really have one, he said. Mike did. I talk to Jerry all the time. We've had to go through the self-scout, so I didn't see the comments specifically, but I don't think we have bad concepts and bad plays, but I'll go back and check.
That's such a funny response. I kind of love that response from Coach.
You know, we're not where we want to be. That's clear, and ultimately it's my responsibility, and I'm fully aware of that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's his responsibility for when they come out and talk about they don't practice very well. You know,
yeah.
That's his responsibility as well. So, you know, he's got 11 more weeks to kind of figure this thing out.
Yeah.
And if not, then they'll move on with another guy.
I just wonder what Bill Parcells or somebody with some attitude about him would say in a situation like this, because it would be easy to say we haven't been drafting well. You know, like how am I possibly dealing with a guy talking about my plays?
Yeah.
We led the league in points scored last year. OK, so maybe my plays are good enough if we have good players. You know, maybe when we have bad players, like, you know, if I'm Mike, I'm talking about the 49ers today. Like, hey, I thought Kyle Shanahan was a genius. He's 3-4 going into this game. What happened? He lost three playmakers. Okay. The scheme can only do so much. And maybe my plays aren't perfect. Maybe my play calling isn't perfect, but damn it, we need some good players.
I would then.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, well, how many guys you got hurt, coach? I mean, you lost Brandon Cooks and your rookie left tackle hasn't been playing that well.
And you're used to playing with young players. You did the same thing in Green Bay. That was also a draft and develop team. So this type of system isn't really new for Mike McCarthy.
No, if Jerry would have come out and said, listen, I'm really disappointed in how our red zone offense is playing right now, to talk about the bad schemes and stuff like that, they've been awful in the red zone. If you look at some of the reasons why they are losing football games right now, you know, and they're not able to stay in games, is because their red zone offense is horrible.
Yeah, because you have to be good. A good offense to be able to score in the red zone.
Yeah, what I'm saying. If I was Jerry Jones, I would have, you know, they find a way to move the ball, and then It's a 3-0 game. It's a 7-3 game. It's a 14-6 game. They kick field goals all day.
Well, they can't throw the football and they can't run it.
They can't throw the football and they can't run it.
Don't forget, they do like turning it over these days as well.
Yeah, you know, that's been an issue. But they have to design better schemes.
They do.
If Jerry would have come out and said again that, hey, we're not good enough in the red zone, our schemes are poor down there, we're just not executing well enough, then Mike McCarthy really doesn't have a foot to stand on.
Well, you have to run it in the red. You have to be able to run the ball in the red zone. We know that about Dak Prescott.
They have to be a lot better than they are.
There are no new developments with who Dak is. You better protect him. You better be able to run the ball. You better have multiple weapons. And if you don't, this is what you're going to get. You know, no coach could fix this, right? Or could a coach get production out of this? I think we're way overrating coaching.
I absolutely think that there's a coach that get production out of this. I mean, I think that they did a great job. One of their best red zone moment to me of the season was the Jalen Tolbert touchdown. And that was schematically designed. You've got a mesh concept where now you're creating Jalen Tolbert being open because now you've cluttered the middle of the field and DBs are getting picked off and they can't run to the right spot. So now Tolbert's there. I think that scheme in the red zone is probably the most important area on the field. It's the hardest thing in the National Football League, red zone offense. It is. Third down, of course, as well, but red zone offense. And I think that's exactly where the better offensive minds schematically are able to kind of flaunt what they're able to do here.
Yeah, and does it change your record? Maybe not, because your defense has been that bad. Well, but you're scoring more than 9 points versus Detroit. Yeah. You're not just consistently kicking field goals. If you give me a legitimate offensive coaching staff that has a clue about what they're supposed to do these days in the sport, they would be considerably better. And we wouldn't be talking about their offense with the Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots and the sewage of the sport offensively currently.
Could they have won the Baltimore game with better red zone offense? I probably need to look that up.
The
trips that they had into the red zone that came up with nothing or 3 points. I mean, maybe that could have been maybe that's the one game that you could have been different.
But Michael win you regular season games. He'll win you 12 games and put you in the playoffs. Like, his offense isn't totally broken. It's just not optimized.
I hear the point. The players do deserve fair share of the blame. Dak Prescott throwing those interceptions in the red zone is a major problem, right? Could you block better? Could you run a better route? Could you catch the football if you have an opportunity to catch it? Sure, absolutely. The blame does not fall on Mike McCarthy. But I do think that he's not exactly helping some of his younger players that they're having to play right now.
Well, if Mike McCarthy could help Dak Prescott in the red zone, if in fact that they're running that deep crossing route in the back of the end zone with CD and they're not telling that corner during practice squad week to, hey, bite on this play, bite, you know, three times, and then Dak feels comfortable, like, hey, I could fit this ball in, because what they're telling me is that that corner is going to bite on the, you know, how about a better fake over there? How about a better design? I mean, I watched the 49ers run a quarterback sneak on the goal line where they pulled both sides of their offensive line in opposite directions and created this massive hole in the middle of on the goal line. It's
awesome.
Second and goal. I'll show you the play at the break. They literally pull both tackles, both guards, opposite directions.
So you're on the left side, you pull left, the right side pulls right.
And the backs, everybody goes, and they create this where it was one-on-one with the center and him on a quarterback sneak.
Awesome.
The Purdy touchdown?
The Purdy touchdown. Yeah. Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
It was a goal line play, a quarterback sneak. They didn't even block it. They just influenced everybody. And they got everybody moved.
It was like Moses parting the Red Sea. That was a great play. Now, the 49ers, 27th, though, in red zone offensive efficiency could be also player related.
And they're down there with the Cowboys, too, when it comes to tight window throws. Mike Lombardi told us that. This team doesn't have a lot of speed.
Yep.
They really don't.
All righty. So that's a big story. That's a big Cowboys story. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later on. Injury updates. Parsons was rehabbing. Deron Bland was limited. I saw him on those courts.
Yeah.
Eric Kendricks limited. Tyler Guyton full, and Kalen Carson rehab group.
Yeah, that Carson, that shoulder is just not coming around, and they're worried about
Stinks.
That. It's just not coming around. It's just not healing like they thought. They're going to try the thing with Kendricks. They're going to see how much he can do and see if he can go. That's something we all need to keep an eye on going this week.
Okay, the other big story in Cowboys land, we talked about it during crosstalk there with the KMC masterpiece. Multiple players, you know, talking about the Cowboys environment around the star. They have Dorrance Armstrong, Tony Pollard, Kelvin Joseph, Dante Fowler. The quotes are up. You know, there's a lot of stuff, and we'll get to the details a little bit later on. But it just, you know, all goes to the emphasis, the priority isn't on football here. It's, you know, selling and touring. And, you know, I think that's, you know, part of what you kind of sign up for when you're with the Cowboys. Like, you get a lot of the good of being the center of attention, and some downside comes to it, especially if you're like an introvert, you know, or you get into the zone and you're working, you know. Some people, like you see in basketball, everybody warming up. Some guys want to go talk to everybody. Some guys want to put headphones on and just like lock in. Mm-hmm. You know, so I definitely think there could be different perspectives on it. I think you can totally be fine with this kind of deal. You know, the Cowboys have won a lot of games. They've been good. It's not been the reason that they can't, you know, put together a defense, running game, and multiple weapons in an offense at the same time. You know, that would be their salary cap management and their approach to free agency and trading. This is kind of the kind of stuff you hear about when you're struggling. Mm-hmm. Everything sucks more when you're not winning.
Everything's heightened 100%. Is it the reason why they haven't won a Super Bowl in 30 years? No. Not at all. But, I mean, it is something where I could see it's just, do you need this to even be a story? Do you have to have this? It's in your control to not have this even be an issue. Maybe you create where it's like, hey, we're not having tours when players are in the facility. Maybe we have certain times, certain days that are designated to this. I don't know. There's a workaround. Big picture, no. It's not that big of a deal. But it is also something that's in your control. To where if other players have left the organization, they're saying this, and I'm sure there's a lot of players in the organization, like Mike has said today, like Jake Ferguson said at training camp, that don't give a damn about this is a non-story.
Yeah.
But the fact that maybe some do get distracted, it's just another thing that's not all about football.
Yeah.
It's about how can we make money and prioritize the Cowboys brand.
It's a symptom.
Exactly. So, I mean, it is a microcosm in like the bigger wave of issues, and it kind of does always come back to this. Is it about selling merchandise, or is it about putting the best product on the football field? And if there's even two players that are distracted out of my 53, if I can go ahead and find a way to not have that be a reason, let me get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I could definitely see that if you're obsessed with football and winning, totally eliminating it. You know, I think from Jerry's perspective, he wants to create like these lifelong bonds and get the people in as much as possible.
That's
you
true.
Know, to hook them. I think it contributes to that relationship between the fan and the organization and the love affair there. But the bigger issue is that you have a general manager that's so obsessed and so prioritizing all this stuff throughout his
day. His whole thing is about the experience.
Yeah.
And he's trying to give the fan the best experience that they can. This is a reason why I cheer for this team. Fan, he's trying to get that fan that ability to maybe have a glance at Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott or Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to create. He's trying to create that experience that gets you, like Dawson said, where you get totally immersed in being a part of it. You know, that like, wow, I went to the Star. Guess who I saw today. It was crazy. We're walking down the hall, and all of a sudden Dak was at the other end there, and we got to see him.
Yeah, but nothing builds a bigger bond with a fan and his team than winning a championship.
Right. Winning. That's right. No, winning and does. Absolutely.
The fans that were created on the Rangers run this time last year.
Yeah.
That's something that you can't – the money doesn't buy that. That's real emotions. Yeah. It's real sports memories.
I'll get to see my players up close and personal at the parade. I look forward to it.
That's right.
But I'm not going to go bug them when they're
this is not a win for fans. We're just kind of talking about why Jerry thinks it's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, I do not think it's, you know, a good thing at all.
We see tours that when we're doing broadcasting at the baseball place, right?
Yeah.
Massive tours.
At the ballpark.
Yeah.
Right.
While games are going on, not like getting ready for games, right?
Yeah, but I think that's totally out of sight, out of mind from a player standpoint, because it's not like, hey, here's the clubhouse, there's Corey Seager right there.
Didn't the one guy right tell there, us they walk those away. Guys down there for batting practice?
For batting practice,
would they get to be part of all that?
Batting practice would be it.
Now, is that just a Is that a common thing throughout baseball?
That is.
It's a batting practice deal.
That's the thing all across Major League Baseball.
But the invasion of this isn't the Sunday. Hey, on Sunday, we expect to see fans, and that's the
whole deal. Performance
time. Yeah, this is performance time. But behind closed doors, I don't think there's any fans that are near Corey Seager when he's practicing on a random Tuesday.
Yeah, they're not walking around the batting cages or the weight room.
Okay, wrapping up here, our opening segment. Stars struggled last night, guys.
Yeah,
they tried to come back and you know tie it up with the Sabres, but they couldn't get it done. So best of luck next time there to the Stars.
Get ready to go play in Finland for a couple of nights.
It's pretty dope, man. Woo.
That sounds fun. Although
hell of a trip.
Seeing these stories about international flights, it's intimidating. You know, like they're the 12-hour on a flight people, the 15 at like Mike's story from Italy. You know, that's my first thing I'm thinking when you're flying over the Atlantic now is what is that flight experience going to be like?
Mike has enough jobs now where he could book that thing up front.
And he says he's going to next time.
Yeah. You know, that's why you...
Yeah, it's a fool me once situation.
That's why
I think Mike and I have same kind of sensibilities.
Yeah.
You leave us cooking in the same spot for 5 or 6 hours, we might go damn crazy up there.
Yeah. You just, you know, Mike's got enough gigs where, you know he can afford to be up in the front of the bus.
He can. Yeah, he can, dude. Yeah. I think he said whenever he flies over there now, he's doing that. Yeah. So if you're a player, I'll catch you over there. I'm going first class,
yeah.
baby.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Business class, too. I mean, first class is way, way, way expensive, and it is the best way to go. But you could get business class seats and have very good comfort going on.
Oh, I would hope and expect and assume that the Stars going to Finland are like getting...
pimped out
all the good.
I would think
if they're flying commercial that way.
No, the big plane. I'm sure that there's some airline sponsor that they have involved.
They're flying coach or whatever.
No, they're probably
only NFL teams do that.
Yeah, well, WNBA team.
I love there you it. Go. Big wow. coach guy.
Celtics began their defense of the championship last night. Whooped the Knicks. Tatum with 37. He was 14 of 18. Jason Tatum was last night on fire. Alvin Kamara re-ups with the Saints. Two years and 24.
What are we doing?
Out of nowhere.
It's weird.
I guess 3.9 gets you paid these days.
Trying to stay ahead of the game.
Go ahead and sign your guys early. That is a strange one, right? Let's extend Alvin Kamara's.
He's been complaining and talking about. After that Denver game, there was a talk of him going up to Sean Payton and saying, get me out of here kind of a thing.
It'd be a blessing for the Saints. Yeah. They're headed nowhere. They should be selling him off. I can't. Their cap situation's ridiculous too.
They don't care about their
I've
cap.
I've heard that the last 10 years.
That's hilarious.
More NFL stuff with Wolchuk coming up at 3:00 in the NFL news of the day. G Bag of the Day is coming up here at 2:30. We have top 5 teams in the NFL. How far away are the Cowboys from that grouping? It's coming up next year.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
G-Bag Nation, the fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. NFL Top 5 Power Rankings. Where are the Cowboys on these bad boys? Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. How far have the Cowboys fallen, Wolchuk?
Man, well, they're not in the top 10. I'll tell you that.
Oh, that's for sure. I mean,
I thought maybe they'd be 10. Maybe, you know, just to put them at 10.
I mean, they're a 500 football team. They're right there teetering on wanting to be great.
Right in the middle of the pack, right?
So precious, your love for these Cowboys, Wolchuk.
I know. I really didn't have them in the top 10. Top 15, you think, maybe?
No, dude. I would just put it somewhere in the neighborhood of 23, 24.
I kind of thought 22 was 22. a good number.
It's a great number. I like 22. I think
they'll get 20. It. Yeah.
I'll take 20.
20. Well,
overrated still, but 20.
Yeah, I think 20 would be overrated. 22, 23. I like where you guys are at. ESPN has him at 15.
These guys aren't watching the game. Are they box scoring this thing?
They
old Chuck?
Kept him at 15.
You know how much I hate that.
Yeah, where they were a week ago. I know you really hate box scoring people.
Watch the damn games.
Yeah, tell them. Tell them to watch, because I think they are box scoring this. They've got him ahead of Atlanta.
Wrong.
I would take the Falcons over the Cowboys. They've got him ahead of Denver.
Probably.
We can have a conversation about.
We can have a conversation.
Chargers?
The Chargers are better than the Cowboys.
I'd probably take the Chargers too. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati I would take over the
I'd
Cowboys.
I'd take Cincy as well. They're going to play as well. Indianapolis?
Coin flip game.
Joe Flacco starting, I'll take the Colts.
Oh, that yeah. If it's a Flacco Sunday, it's a L taking Sunday.
Cardinals, who did just beat the Chargers.
Yes. They kicked the Cowboys' butts last year without their starting quarterback.
Right. That's a bad matchup. Saints?
Yeah.
This iteration injuries. Of the Saints.
Yeah,
now.
The Saints and the Rams also banged up.
I would take the Rams over the Cowboys.
Would you take Rodgers and the Jets to beat the Cowboys?
I would.
I would too. The Boogeyman's got our number. Dolphins? Got Tua back?
Yeah.
Maybe with Tua back.
Light your defense up.
Giants? No. Jags? No.
Would I take the Jags over the Cowboys? I think it's a coin flip game.
It could be a close game. I wouldn't, but it could be a close game. Raiders.
I'll go Cowboys.
Titans.
Cowboys.
I'll go Cowboys.
All right, and then Browns, Patriots, Panthers.
You'd like to think the Cowboys would be all of those
teams. I mean, they did destroy the Browns, Patriots, and Panthers. I think they would destroy as well.
I think Jameis Winston on the Browns now actually makes them a little bit
scarier. That does make
their
offense way better.
Yeah.
I mean, they might actually be able to put up like 20 to 30 points. Now, he'll throw a couple picks your way, though.
I don't know how you can have the Cowboys sitting in 15th right now. That's a joke.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most egregious teams that they've got him ahead of would be, for me, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Arizona. I think you made a great point. That'd be a difficult matchup. But, yeah, they're giving the Cowboys a little bit too much love. They are praising DeMarvian Overshown because every week ESPN will do something different with their power rankings. This week it's, hey, who's the young riser for each team? And it's Overshown. As Todd Archer writes, he sat out his rookie season. We know with the ACL, opens the season nickel package, played all but just 29 snaps in the past four games. So he has been on the field a ton after we were talking about why is he not. But if you guys had to say, all right, who's your top five right now?
Chiefs, Lions, Ravens, Vikings, Bills.
Chiefs, Lions.
Your master sheet.
Chiefs, Lions. Where'd you go after that?
Ravens, Vikings, Bills.
Vikings, Bills. I like that.
Wow, okay.
I think I've actually got the same thing. He nailed it.
Did he nail it? I went Chiefs, Lions, Ravens, Bills, and then Minnesota and Green Bay. Such a coin flip for me.
I'll tell you what. I'll be a little different. I'll be a little different here now that I think about it.
All right.
I'll put the Lions over the Chiefs.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ooh. Yeah.
There you go.
You don't like undefeated?
You don't like championships?
You don't like DeAndre Hopkins?
Nah.
You like coming in second?
Well, you said earlier this week you think the Lions would beat the Chiefs today.
I think the Lions would, and that's why I went back, and my thought was, and I watched the Lions go and beat the Vikings, who were undefeated, and I think they could go. I think they went last year. They opened the season with the Kansas City. No problem.
No Chris Jones in that game. It's a big one.
Week one.
They're not going to have.
It was a short week. It was Hutchinson.
Yep.
What is this? 100 points they've scored in the last three games?
Bro, they have 18 touchdowns to 16 incompletions in their last three games.
Well, Goff had a perfect game. He went 18-18 on that Monday nighter against Seattle. Yeah.
But they've averaged six touchdowns a game.
It's unbelievable.
For three games.
It's crazy what they're doing.
They are phenomenal.
Yeah, I'll go Chiefs, Lions, Ravens, Bills, Vikings, top five. I think the Packers are close.
Okay, yeah. See, I'm like that's very, very tough for me.
Packers and Vikings, I think, are right there because I could definitely see the Packers surpassing the Vikings as the season goes on.
Yeah, and that's what I'm like. Jordan Love, Sam Darnold, the explosive nature to this Packers offense. I think they're second in the league in explosive plays offensively.
And is Tucker Kraft starting to come on?
Tucker Kraft is the real deal. I'm bummed. It's a shame the Cowboys didn't have a chance to draft him, and they drafted Scooney.
Yeah.
Just for the record, the Cowboys
had Scooney on my board.
The Cowboys, yes, that it matters. Any person with eyeballs did. Well, Chuck, Dallas at 23 when it comes to the DVOA metric, which is the most overarching team. Like, if you want to just look at, if you had to like use one metric to power rank the NFL. You would have the Cowboys there at 23. And just for the record, Baltimore, Detroit, Minnesota, Kansas City, and Buffalo, that's your DVOA rankings. Baltimore, Detroit, Minnesota, Kansas City, Buffalo.
And we've got all of them in our top five. That makes sense.
Here's where Green Bay struggles. Maybe lack of power up front, maybe younger quarterback still. Red zone efficiency. It's not where the other elite teams are, or the other contenders are.
Yeah, and their defense, it looked good versus Houston. Their pass rush looked good, but they don't have a pass rush. They have to blitz in order to get any type of pressure.
They do.
I think that'll be a problem for them, but they're still really, really good. Them in Minnesota, that's a tight one.
There's such a young team that I think, you know, will peak as the season goes on. This was an interesting one. We joked about this during the break, but Tyreek Hill with Tua back. If you're a fantasy owner, you've had the cheetah. He said, we're back. Strike the effing band, start me this week.
Butt crack.
So get ready. Do you think that's a ball sack or is that football?
You're alleging that's the exact quote from Tyreek Hill?
We're back, baby. Strike the effing band, start me this week.
Strike the band.
Strike the band.
I'm saying he's saying that.
Strike him.
Strike it up, baby. He's been quiet
the last time. We don't even have bands in the NFL. This is ball sack.
Yeah, we do. Baltimore Ravens have a band. Ravens have a band.
Does Washington still have the
they stole
the
it. They revitalized the old Baltimore Colt van.
They give them seats?
Yeah, they sit on the field right between like the 20-yard line and the goal line.
And they play neck?
They don't play neck. They probably play they play like Baltimore Raven fight
we
song.
We are the Ravens.
Everybody knows this. We are the Ravens. The mighty Ravens.
Yes. We were 0-2. Now we're 1-5 straight.
How about that for a lead in, Lucius? It's time now for the G bag of the day. Into the pimp cup. Here's LA.
Yeah. Bring that sauce. Bring that sauce, that seasoning in the air. How's everybody doing and everything and everybody? What's going on?
Matt from Meat Church dropped off his new cowboy seasoning this morning. Speaking of seasoning, so Lucius, fire. Put MSG in it.
All the Tolos. Shout out to all y'all. All right, our winner right here so far is the fake baseball scout. He was out there at the baseball tournament for the young boys. He trolled a father. Father had no idea he was being trolled. Really thought he was talking to somebody that knew what they were talking about. And here's how it went.
My son's out there at second base.
How long's he been playing infield for?
He was 8 years old.
Yeah? Little League?
Yeah, Little League, all the way up.
You coach him?
I coached him all the way through.
Sounds like a typical coach's son. To be honest, it looks like it's his first day in the infield. Guy looks like a mannequin out there. PS4 with no Wi-Fi. Guy's just lagging everywhere, no instinct.
You know, I've never heard that before. You know, he gets praised for defense over offense.
Well, that's because his offense is even worse.
What a great line. You can hear him chewing his gum. The dad's so confident. He's like, oh, man, a scout. Woo.
Lagging.
I knew this day was coming. He's so proud.
No instincts.
Lagging.
That was just a little extra right there on a Monday, but it ended up being picked up. The boys liked it.
Yeah, that was good.
That's how the voting works. You never know.
You never know.
You never know. All right, let's see here what we got. Has anybody in this room ever been dunked on before? Anybody ever been dunked on? I'm talking about actually where you can contested the dunk. Not somebody dunked around you.
I was never that good to play.
Contested the dunk and he dunked on you.
Wow. Yeah.
Damn, what happened, bro?
I mean, they were coming down on a 2-on-1,
and you
right?
You really thought, man, I got the move on them.
I thought I could, maybe steal the pass.
You really thought?
I got it.
I just remember how much the knees and his elbow, I think, spinning around hurt me as he untwirled from the rim. You know, because he caught an alley-oop.
Sorry,
and it was,
bro.
You
trying to block an alley-oop, too? You're doing a lot right there.
Well, you kind of get stuck in no man's land. Yeah, you know, you're trying to bait the pass and swipe for the ball, and the next thing you know, it's in the air, and you're like, can I get it? No, you cannot.
Yeah. I learned a lesson. Just go ahead and step away. Let them have it, especially if they have the up on it. I see your steps already rolling. You've got it, man.
Yeah.
It's only 2 points, bro. I'm going to let you have
Next
it.
Next thing you know, you're hearing the pad of the backboard.
Yeah. Wow, slaps.
I was just avoiding basketball courts that had people on it that could dunk.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Just not even putting myself
this
in
is
those
not
positions.
Fair.
We're all shooters around.
I remember I had to guard Kevin Grant in Grand Prairie in the summer leagues. Mm. Memphis was looking at this kid.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he tried to dunk on me. I stepped on out the way. I was like, nah, you got the steps, bro. You can have it.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's a story from John Sally. He was on Byron Scott's Fast Break podcast. Tell a story about the time Michael Jordan dunked on him.
MJ, we're in a practice, and Phil said, tell him to go home, and he didn't know why, and he waited. And he was like, all right, we're playing for minutes, scrimmage for minutes. And MJ came in, nah, you ain't putting me out. And he had on regular tennis shoes. They looked like Vans, but they were Nike. And he had his sweats cut and rolled at the bottom. You know, he thought he was fly. He wasn't. But, you know, you don't say nothing to the Messiah. And we're playing. And all of a sudden, I'm running back, and MJ gets a steal. And he's about to do the right-hand jump. I said, oh, I know exactly what dunk you're going to try. I'm getting this. I don't care. I drop, step, and turn around about to jump. And as I'm about to jump, his midsection is moving past my face. And you know, you try to bring yourself down. He was like, block this, bitch. Boom.
Block this, bitch. Why is he so competitive, bro? That man is super competitive.
I don't know. It's a toxic relationship with losing, you know?
Yeah.
It's a clear sign of a champion.
Walter Payton's son said Michael Jordan came over to his house one time to play with his father, you know, and all they did was gamble all night.
Yeah.
He said he even got down to pickup sticks. Mike said, I'm leaving here with something. Let's see what else we got right here. Oh, I love this clip. Oh, my God, I love this clip. I've never felt more seen in my entire life. I'm a big Rex Ryan fan. I got to get me a Rex Ryan t-shirt of some sorts. I know it's on the internet somewhere. He was on the Pivot podcast just preaching.
I love my wife's feet. Like, I don't know what it is, but if a chick's got jacked up feet, I'm out. I don't care how gorgeous. I'm out. I don't know what the hell it is, but it's like some people are boob guys, leg guys, you know, whatever. Of course I notice a pretty gorgeous face, whatever, but no yourself. I'm checking the feed out.
Let's go, bro. Come on.
And you know what's funny? When that came out, front page New York, my wife's going to freaking kill me, right, when that came out. But I'm like, damn, I can't tell you how many of my players came up and said, dude, I like feet too.
Come on, bro.
And I'm hell yeah, you're a freaking man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Damn right. I don't know what it is, but now I have fun with it, and it's like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
That's who I am. I own that shit, and if a chick's got great feet, I'm looking.
Let's go, bro. Let's go. He's talking, bro. He's preaching, bro.
Good for him just owning it.
That man is preaching.
We really need to put his feet to the fire here, though. And he's got to – where on the power rankings is the foot?
Sounds like one
because
for him.
One for him.
It's top three. It's definitely top three. There's three. It's three T's, in fact. One I can't say on the radio is TDs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Teeth.
Okay.
And toes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The three T's. Yeah. Okay. I'm a leg guy, but the legs always end down to the feet. If you got a jacked up pair of feet, it's going to ruin the legs for me. You know what I mean?
No question. Yeah.
And that's it, like, respect.
My mind, beautiful house, but the foundation is what counts.
Exactly. Man, I'm looking down there. It's got to be cute.
When you said the three T words, my mind was scrambling. I came up with a couple of interesting ones.
Yeah, I know you did. The Dick Wolf of radio probably had me looking like a murderer out here.
No, like an English word for, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can a Bigfoot be nice?
No, or does it have to be small? Not like a big floppy foot. No,
so there's
sir.
A size. That, yeah. Like, what's the shoe size?
You got to have a small foot.
A little dainty.
Smaller the better. Yeah. Right now, my girl's got like a 4.5, 5 in ladies. There you go. It's a kid's foot, bro. Mm. It's small. It looks cute. I don't even know. I don't want to. Hey, honey. Hey, can I get some Jordans today? Or who's been wearing my Nikes type of vibes? I don't need that. Big floppy joints. That is nasty. I mean, somebody likes it. That's one thing about them big old tall girls. Yeah. They look beautiful and everything, but there's some big old feet down there, boy. I tell you what.
Size 13s or
something.
That's
the hands.
Yeah, be slopping on the kitchen floor. Flop, flop, flop. Sticking and everything. All right, last one right here. The rapper Mace was asking Mike Tyson, how did you come up with all those rants during your press conferences?
Like, how did you come up with those rants before the fights, though?
What's that?
When you pause, when you told, what you call it, you was going to eat his kids and all that.
I'm tripolar. I'm not well. I need medicine. I need to be on. I'm not well.
I believe him too. I 100% believe him.
Man, that's the best question ever.
That's a great question.
How'd you come up with all those bands? Talking about eating kids and everything. That's crazy, Mike.
Is it the baseball scout or one-time champion? Is it John Sally who got dunked on by Jordan? Rex Ryan on the Pivot podcast talking feet. World wasn't ready for that in 2012 or whenever it first broke.
No.
Now he's being more celebrated, more open with it, and that was hilarious. Mace asking Mike Tyson, how did you come up with all those rants? Man, they could all win. I don't know who to vote for, Chief. Do you?
Yes, I'm going with the Mike Tyson right there. That was great.
Alrighty, Lucius.
Oh, Rex Ryan for sure, bro.
Cool, Chuck.
I'm going to go with Tyson.
Ryan.
John Sally.
I'll vote for the baseball scout by a score 2-1-1. And your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's a Mace. Asking questions to Mike Tyson. That was a great shirt you had on yesterday. Cannot wait for this fight. I saw Tyson like really got after a sparring partner the other day. It showed a highlight of him. I was like, wait, maybe he's got a chance. I think I it's got to end quickly.
I thought
he's
the same thing some the legit other day. Sparring partners. But then I saw, and then I realized it was a throwback clip of him. Damn. All right.
I got ball sacked.
Maybe. No. But you probably saw a legit one.
He is getting ready for the fight.
I saw he was doing like some neck workouts, and he was like, I'm going to, his tweet was just like, I'm going to F Jake Paul up. He was just doing neck workouts.
Yeah, the one that you saw probably today, if he dropped his sparring partner, that was legit.
Right on. Nice. All right. Tear him up, dude. That'd be cool if we could get like a George Foreman Mike Tyson like comeback where he's old as crap but still somehow super good because he can punch hard.
I want that so bad.
Foreman could use that belly and kind of lean back and jab you. So I don't know if Tyson can do that too, but if maybe, anybody can, he could.
Maybe he can use his ulcer to an advantage somehow.
Rims next.
Somebody's talking about big feet on the fan text says it takes a boat to carry a queen. Hysterical. That's
good. Hey, shout out to the ankles. Big respect, 817. You're right.
Oh, yeah. They got to be thin ankles. Mm-hmm. Thin ankles, long big toe. I mean, long second toe. Long second toe.
Oh, you like the long second toe.
Yeah.
Longer than the big toe?
Yeah, for sure.
A little overlap there.
But a small.
She's got a bad attitude, though. She's got a bad attitude. Look at Eric.
Hey, we can deal with that.
You can't make a mistake around Eric. Oh, the fool's in long toe.
Just winking at you.
Sorry.
Nah, bro. Fine.
Chief, where are we going?
We have history was made last night in the association, and I'm not talking about LeBron. That's next year in the nation.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. Chiback Nation 105.3 The Fan. NFL News today coming up at 3 o'clock. We got big news with a free agent signing for the Chiefs and the trade market really starting to heat up. It should be an exciting couple of days here next week or so as that NFL trade deadline approaches. Time now to talk hoop. And here's Chiafalo.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that afternoon snoozer. And the G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when we are one sleep away before a Mavericks championship season tipping off. And maybe it's more just a Western Conference championship season once again, because after watching what the Celtics did last night, my goodness.
Yeah.
They're picking up where they left off.
Man, they just could not stop the shots.
Dude, That was quite the onslaught of three-point making. They took 61 threes. They made like 47% of them. It was truly ridiculous. But my favorite nugget of last night's game for the Celtics, as dominant as it was, the Celtics tied the NBA three-pointers made record in a game.
Wow.
29.
Jeez.
They did it with 8 minutes and 50 seconds left in the game. They went ahead and missed the next 13 threes they took. So they never actually surpassed the record.
Wow.
They just simply tied it. But they tied it with basically the entire fourth quarter and 13 shot opportunities to break it. Never did.
That sucks.
That's just the nature of the three-point shot.
Yeah, yeah, hot and cold.
It's a make or miss league,
for
right?
For sure.
Yeah, no question, dude.
They didn't have Porzingis. I think if they would have had him, their record would have been theirs. I think he's going to be back December. But yes, to your point, I want to pick Mavs. I want to believe Mavs championship. But as long as like Drew Holiday is healthy, you know, I think they're going to get it done. Derek White had a big game. I mean, they just have too much. And I didn't believe some of the observers who said that going into the final. But that beatdown was so convincing. I don't think anything other than injuries can swing it back in the Mavs' favor.
Yes. Yeah. For anybody, this is as well constructed a basketball team as you'll find. The depth is through the roof. They play legit defense. And then they have three guys with over 20 points and another with 18. So, I mean, and Jason Tatum last night, 8 for 11 from downtown, 14 of 18 from the field, 10 assists. That's a dude that looked like he was maybe having and dealing with some sort of USA Olympic chip on the shoulder. He was getting benched and talked est on throughout the Olympic gold run that he was on the team for but not contributing to.
Yeah.
And his jump shot had been reported that it had been worked on a ton and looks a little bit different or whatever, but last night it was on full display. This guy was dialed post-championship. He's still a little bit goofy or whatever, but man, that was an impressive performance by him last night. 132-109, they beat the Knicks, and the Knicks are just hilarious. That is, of course, going to take some time for him to get going here with a bunch of new pieces on that team, but it's just always funny to see the Knicks struggle, even if it's just the first game of the season. Now, on the flip side, you had the Lakers. They end up beating the Timberwolves. Anthony Davis goes off. You have the Bronny moment. I can't get over how small he actually looks out there.
Dude, it really looked like somebody that they had just taken off as the fan and just said, hey, go out there and run around with the
There was the
guys.
Awkward moment
like a make
when
a wish thing.
Yeah. He had the pass back and forth with dad and then kind of ran away and was like, oh, just go ahead and do it, dad. Yeah. I'm going to go over
it,
here.
It was a little cringy seeing him out there running around with everybody. LeBron wanted that shot so bad too.
Yeah.
A little give and go. Dad to son. Yeah. LeBron. Oh, bricks in.
I mean, you got to try to throw a couple alley-oops or something. But you know, we see how nervous and in their head, like rookies are in all sports. I can't imagine like trying to play free. They had the little mic'd up moment before they went in, like just go out there and, you know, have no fear of making mistakes. Just play. It's like, how do I play free and easy? I'm out here with the GOAT, who's my dad, and the entire world is watching, and I'm not equipped for it right now.
Everybody's
going
to kick my ass out here. It's just like, I don't want to be here right now.
3 minutes, 0-for-2 from the field, -5 in the plus minus there for Bronny, but LeBron, Anthony Davis getting it done. Dalton Knecht, the rookie out of Tennessee, knocking down some shots, and he was definitely one of those guys on draft night. It was like, man, if you watch the tournament and you watch a little bit of college basketball last year, you knew that was a guy that could score. And at 23 years old, he might be able to contribute a little bit more than your run-of-the-mill 18, 19, 20-year-old rookie. But that's definitely a nice addition for them. They had some struggles when it came to shooting the ball. The three ball was a disaster for them last night, them being the Lakers, 5 of 30 from the field. And I don't think he's cranking up the excuse machine, but here was J.J. Redick acknowledging something about last night's balls.
I'm going to send in a request for the league tomorrow that we can play with worn-in basketballs. I'm not sure why we're playing in real games. I'm being dead serious. I'm not sure why we're playing in real games with brand-new basketballs. Anybody who's ever touched an NBA ball brand-new, it's a different feel and touch than a worn-in basketball. I didn't realize it till a timeout. There's a long rebound. I grabbed it. was like, what? Why are we playing with this ball? Give the guys the opportunity to pick a good basketball. You think I'm joking?
No, I'm positive.
I'm neurotic.
I'm positive you're not joking.
Is this new, JJ? Didn't you play in the league? Were you playing with used balls?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, they like a warm ball. They like it to get it slick, you know. Yeah. We need with all the grip on it, brand new, right, to grab it. But their hands are so big, they just prefer it slick because they can roll their hand over it better.
Yeah, I mean, every game I've ever been to, watching the start, the official before the tip off,
yes,
they always pass the ball around to all the guys on the floor.
Bounce it, yeah.
And you know, you never see anybody this kind of handed back. They never really, you know, they never do anything. Like, hey, what's to do with the ball?
Like bitching to be bitching here from JJ.
Yeah, a little bit, maybe.
Okay, well, then maybe he is cranking up the excuse machine as to why his team went 5 of 30 from downtown. We are getting the bold prediction time here in the NBA, and you have in the Ringer, they predict that Luka will lead the league in points and assists this year. Hmm. And they note that actually last year after the All-Star break, he averaged 10.3 assists. And even though he was 9.8 last year on the season, his assist numbers started to go up and up and up. And now with an even better connection with Derek Lively and, of course, the Klay Thompson factor.
Just a Klay away, baby. He's going to be burying these
things. So maybe Luka leads the league in points and assists. That would be pretty special. Now, I want to play this sound for you here. This is some throwback to last year's sound. This is Fred VanVleet. Do you remember when he absolutely tore up a particular NBA referee? I think it was G-Bag of the Day. It's some pretty damning sound here on Ben Taylor, who is, of course, the crew chief for Fred VanVleet and the Rockets tonight.
I mean, I don't mind. I'll take a fine. I don't really care. I thought, you know, Ben Taylor was fucking terrible tonight. Mm-hmm. I thought that most nights, you know, a couple of the, you know, out of the three, there's one or two that just fucked the game up, you know, and it's been like that a couple games in a row. Denver was tough, obviously. You come out tonight, you're competing pretty hard. The third quarter, I get a bullshit tech, change the whole dynamic of the game, change the whole flow of the game. And, you know, most of the refs are trying hard. I like a lot of the refs are trying hard. They're pretty fair. They communicate well. And then you got the other ones who just want to be dicks and just kind of fucks the game up. Nobody's coming to see that shit.
He crashed out.
And that was a direct call out there from Fred VanVleet to Ben Taylor, who, again, is the crew chief tonight for Rockets and Hornets.
You move from Toronto to Houston, you're saving so much money on the taxes. You're just like, whatever. Yeah. Anybody can get it right now. Find me all you want.
214 is alleging that we're going to hate Klay in a month.
Well, he's not shooting the ball well in the preseason. I wouldn't worry about that, but I would not be surprised at all if Najee Marshall just kind of usurps his minutes. This guy shot well last year.
Yeah, he did.
From three.
Yeah.
And if that was a breakout performance for Najee Marshall and now he's going to shoot high 30s for his career, mm-hmm. it won't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Klay Thompson will be a nice veteran off the bench that can score 13, 14 points some nights if you need a floor spacer. But I just don't think he's at a point in his career where we're going to be depending on him so much to hate him. You know,
I'm just offended by the 214 putting a ceiling on us like it's only going to take a month. We might hate him Friday morning.
That's right.
We'll see what happens tomorrow night.
Giving us too much credit. Jeez, 1 hour down, four to go here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Wolchuk, I've been teasing NFL news today. You about to pay off or what?
Yeah, let's do it, man. We got tons of trades to talk about. Being soft and signed balls. What's next?
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable?
Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.